Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The World According to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth. And today is January 4th, 2015. And it is, we're within less than an hour from the full moon. And I just kind of thought it was important that I share some of the information that kind of came through and for my sacred body posture class for the new earth that I did yesterday. And so I just wanted to share some of that information that so that you may have a deeper, better, clearer understanding of this full moon and possibly how to ride the waves of this full moon energy and the other things that are going on right now. So when I do my sacred body posture class, I start out the class with just kind of a what's up, an energetic update on what's happening. And I combine the five element theory in Chinese medicine because it is a great way to connect to the seasons and to understand the emotions and energies that are associated with the season according to that perspective. So I'm going to start with that, and then I'm going to get into the full moon. So according to the Taoist perspective, a week before and after the winter solstice, we anchor back into the earth element so we can integrate the lessons of the previous season, which in Chinese medicine is the metal element, how to heal grief and longing, and align our will with heaven's will. And so then a week after the winter solstice, according to that perspective, we move strongly into the water element. And the water element is associated with cold, and or cold, like winter, as well as the emotion of fear when it's out of balance, and the ability when we're tuned in and tapped in and balanced in our water element to tune into the deep wisdom of our ancestors that's stored in our kidneys and in our bones and our blood. And so we work with that energy in the sacred body posture class so that we can really access the gift of the season. So not just the Chinese, but a lot of traditions consider the winter the time for deep spiritual work. It's dark. It's there's not a lot of work to be done outside for kind of more agrarian societies, and it's a time for praying and contemplative work and kind of doing your own deep spiritual work, facing your shadow, so to speak. So the Chinese also believe that the water element is very strongly associated with will. In fact, according to that perspective, they believe that at the moment of our conception, we decide, along with our guides and everything, what our destiny is going to be in this lifetime. And then we are given the energy necessary to do, the qi necessary to fulfill our destiny. We're also given the will to fulfill our destiny. And the will, as I understand it, is associated with focus, intention, courage, ambition. It's what drives us towards our destiny. And then the Chinese believe that also at that time, our ancestors come forward to give us the physical and spiritual gifts that we're going to need to fulfill our destiny. So it could be the gift of sight or sound, be having a nice voice or a sharp intellect, whatever it is. Often, however, those gifts are what you might call wrapped in karma. And before we can fully utilize and access those gifts, we have to heal ourselves and our ancestors and thus freeing the full utilization of that gift. So the Chinese believe that we come into this world with our will intact, typically. And then because of chaos and drama, we send our will energy outside of ourselves and we use that energy to try to control the chaos. So we can send it out and wrap it around people and situations that we want to control or people that we care about and love to try to keep them safe. I think I've seen a lot of people misuse their will in that way, trying to keep their loved ones safe. So anyway, we send our will energy out, and when we send our will energy out, it depletes the fire or the light in our solar plexus, and we are we don't have the clarity and the focus. The other thing that happens to our will is that if we send our will energy out and wrap it around somebody, they can send their will energy back, wrap it around our will center, and then we get into a power struggle. Anytime our will is bound, we feel sort of powerless to do or be who we're here to be. Our will can be bound by people, but it can also be bound by structures, so like family or systems. So like our will can be bound by our family systems. So in other words, don't be who you are, don't stand out, because either you'll make us all look bad or it's not safe, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Our will can also be bound by our educational systems, our religious systems, and our governmental systems. There are all of these systems and structures in place now that they have a vested interest in keeping us powerless, in keeping us from exercising free will as well as a will that is aligned with heaven's will. There's a guy, Cliff High, he's the one who developed the web bot, you know, that kind of saw and not predicted September 11th, but it saw it was kind of tracking keywords on the computer and energies on the computer, and it kind of saw this big uptick in activity just prior to the September 11th. Well, anyway, I heard Cliff High giving a talk once, and he said that the powers that be do not like humans whose wills are aligned with heaven's will, because when our wills are aligned with heaven's will, we are unstoppable and undefeatable. So anyway, this time of year for me, with the water element, is always a great opportunity for me to strengthen my will, okay, free my will, and bring my will energy back from the things and the people that I've been trying to control. And I was doing this meditation once, it was a couple of years ago when I was first learning about the will, and it was a really physically challenging will, challenging meditation. And just prior to doing the meditation, I brought my will energy back from my family. You know, you try to control that you think you control. And I always try to control my family. I used to. I don't do it as much now. But I brought all of my will energy back before I did that meditation. And when I was doing that meditation and my arms got really tired and I wanted to give up, I literally felt my will energy come out of my solar plexus, come up and lift my arms and keep my arms going. It was really a great example of the strength of the will. And just in alignment with the will, or with the concept of our will and how powerful our will can be, I also at that same time read a story. I was reading Don Juan, Carlos Castaneda, and his stories about Don Juan, and he was telling the story about how he and Don Juan and this elderly gentleman about 80, in his 80s somewhere, were walking through the desert, and they came to a waterfall. And the old man started to climb this waterfall, and he was making these almost death-defying leaps from one rock to the other. And Carlos Castaneda couldn't figure it out, and so he asked Don Juan what was up. And Don Juan said, well, if you are a man of knowledge, you would see that he sends his will energy out, wraps it around a rock, and it's literally his will energy that pulls him to the rock. So when our will is clean and clear and strong and being used for what it was intended to be used for, it can defy gravity. We can do things that seemingly defy natural law. So anyway, this is a great time to clean up your will, clean up your act as far as whether or not you're misusing your will or whether your will is bound. So then the other thing that the Chinese believe about this time of year, the water, when we're in the water element, is that there's a lot of energy that can be brought back into yourself by garnering your energy, by going deep, by being quiet, by being still. So the meridians associated with the water element are the kidneys and the bladder. And at the time of our conception, we're given the chi or the life force that we're going to need to fulfill our destiny. And then we come into this life, and because of the things that are going on, we sort of get distracted and we misuse our energy. We spend our energy, our money, our resources on things that don't move us towards our destiny. So basically we're squandering our resources, our energy. And so this is a great time of year to look at, where are you putting your energy? Where are you putting your money? Money and energy can be they're both very closely associated with the kidneys, because once we use all of our inherited chi, and if we aren't replenishing our chi by being around positive people, eating good food, thinking good thoughts, we don't get more chi. We spend all of our energy. We use up all of our chi, and we die. So this is an opportunity to restore chi, to reassess, where are you spending your energy. So that's the other thing that the kidneys are related to. They store the chi, and then it's the bladder that lets us know whether or not whether or not we are spending that energy, those resources, in a way that moves us towards our destiny. And a lot of people right now can have and exhibit back pain. And just over the last couple of years, one of the things I realized is that this time of year, if you're having low back pain, first of all, you may not be keeping your kidneys warm. That's one thing. And or you're constantly stressing your adrenals. You're kind of always in a fight or flight, and you're spending your energy where it doesn't belong, and you're not restoring your life force. You're not restoring your chi, and so your bladder meridian is going, and via your spine and your back is going, hey there, time to come in, time to take care of yourself. So this is really a powerful time to take care of yourself. So I think that's all I'm going to say right now about the water element, just some things to ponder. We are in the energy of the water element, theoretically, until about a week before the spring equinox. Of course, depending on the weather, we can kind of move in and out of the elements. You know, we can kind of come back into the metal element, work a little bit with grease sometimes, or we can move forward and work with the wood element and work with anger or frustration. Sometimes we sort of feel that in early February when we start getting more light. But we're not fully, typically, out of the water element until about a week before the spring equinox. So we've got some time, and so hopefully I'll get a chance to talk more about that. I just want to spend some time right now on this full moon. So this is the first full moon of the year, and in some ways, you know, I'm not an astrologer, first off, I have to say. I'm a reflexologist, but I'm very fascinated with astrology, and I'm very fascinated with the concept of how these moons are markers or harbingers for periods of time. Typically, a moon cycle is like a 28-day cycle, but as this is the first full moon of the year, it might be something that will kind of be an overlay for the year. So a couple of years ago, I started learning about the Sabian symbols, and because I'm a Pisces, I'm very fascinated with symbolic meaning and metaphor and how our subconscious speaks to us, and our unconscious speaks to us through symbols. So what I did in preparing for my class yesterday was I went through the major planets for in the full moon chart and got the Sabian symbols. And I'm going to have you just close your eyes and listen as I tell you a little bit about these the degrees of the where the planets are and what the symbol represents, what that symbolic meaning of that particular degree is. I'm going to start with 15 degrees Cancer. That is where the moon is. And so, and it's the full moon, okay? So the full moon is kind of a, what you might say, a magnetic moon, a gravitational moon, and it pulls up emotions. It pulls up energy. And the fact that it's in Cancer makes it even more emotional, perhaps, and even more, powerful for our emotional body. So Cancer is associated with the sign of the mother. It's also associated with nurturing, okay? The moon in astrology is related to our habituated emotional patterns. Okay, so here's 15 degrees Cancer, and this is the moon. So what it talked about in the Sabian symbols is that we are hypnotized by the notion of physical abundance. Okay, we're almost obsessed with physical abundance. And it says by focusing on this physical abundance and becoming satiated, one learns to appreciate and desire asceticism. Okay? And what they went on to say is that it is through this focus on material and physical abundance that we materialize the spiritual. So we begin to bring in to form our spirit. We bring our spirit all the way into form. So that's something to think about, okay? I'm just going to ask you to just let these words move through you. You may not understand it, but it may evoke emotion. Don't judge it. Just watch it. Okay. So then the next planet I looked at was 15 degrees Capricorn, the sun. Okay. When there's a full moon, the sun and the moon are opposite each other. And if you look on the chart that I posted on the Facebook page, you can see that it says 14 degrees, 31 minutes. In the Sabian symbol website that I look at, if it's 14, 31, you go to the 15. That's why I'm using the 15 degrees. So the Sabian symbol meaning for 15 degrees Capricorn is the responsibility of society to ensure the welfare and total health of the new generation. Okay, so we have a responsibility as a society to ensure health and welfare for our kids. On an individual level, we have a responsibility to take care of our fresh initiations and dreams of future growth. And so in cycle of manifestation with the solstice, the light returned, and all the dreams that we want to create in the new year, we have kind of begun to plant them, right? So that when the light penetrates the soil and begins to germinate the seeds, those seeds that we planted, we have to take care of them right now. And you could call it a pagan path, so to speak, that we are going to be taking care of these seeds until they germinate about the first weekend in February. And I think that's the Chinese New Year. It's associated with the Chinese New Year as well as in the kind of the Celtic tradition of Imbolc. It's when the light penetrates the soil and the seeds begin to germinate. So anyway, that's the sun, okay? The moon is our emotions. The sun is our personality, and some people say it's our ego. So just take that into mind. Okay. So the next thing in Capricorn that I want to focus on is Pluto. And so Pluto is the planet of birth, death, and rebirth. Pluto is the god of the underworld. It's about transformation. It is also the planet that is associated with wealth as well, because as the ruler of the underworld, it's also associated with gems and minerals and gold and stuff. So the symbol for 14 degrees Capricorn is, as people question and challenge traditional beliefs and attitudes that are necessary to separate our permanent values from individual habits and social political developments which pervert or negate our original ideals. And what kind of came to mind is if you would even just think about the original ideals that this country was founded upon have been perverted. And this, with this 14 degrees in Capricorn, with Pluto at 14 degrees in Capricorn, we have the opportunity at this time to question and challenge the traditional beliefs and attitudes necessary to separate permanent values from individual habits and social political developments, which pervert or negate our original ideas. Pluto moves so slowly that we have a little bit of time now to look at this and to see how the ideals for this country have been perverted, and also how, on an individual level, how have your habits, which habits are often unconscious patterns of reaction, how have your habits separated you from your own ideals, okay? Because we always have to think collectively as well as personally. All right, so the next planet that I looked at was Saturn. And right around Christmas, Saturn moved into Sagittarius. And Saturn has been in Scorpio for about 2 years. And Saturn is the keeper of the threshold of transformation. Saturn puts structures in place so that we can cope and survive. And then when the time comes, Saturn knocks them down. So Saturn in Scorpio was an opportunity for us all to look at how have we repressed and oppressed our emotions, our creativity, our sexuality, and our power. So with Saturn moving into Sagittarius, it is an opportunity for us to look at how have we oppressed our truth. Sagittarius is about truth. How have we oppressed our connection to our higher mind? How have we oppressed our ability to point the way, to see and point the way towards that which is not visible to everyone? Okay? So at 2 degrees, Sagittarius, the Sabian metaphor, the Sabian symbol, is defined as the stirring of deep energies that obey cosmic superpersonal rhythms, the power of which is irresistible. And there are some people that say truth is a superpersonal rhythm, you could say. And there are personal truths, and then there are big truths. And with Saturn in Sagittarius, it is an opportunity for us for the next 2.5 years to look at our connection to truth. It's also an opportunity for us to look at whether or not we have become dogmatic, whether we have allowed religious structures to determine how we connect to Creator. It's also an opportunity to look at how are we having fun? Because the Sag energy is a fun energy. They're known for being outgoing and personable and almost like they're kind of like a little bit of a clown. They can be the clown. So I get the sense that over the next years, and especially over the influence of this particular moon, these energies are starting to stir us. And I think they're stirring us and moving us towards our truth. And anything that is been, any structure that's been created that keeps us from our truth is going to be in our face, and we're going to have the opportunity to knock it down. Okay, so the next, there's three planets in Aquarius now, and Aquarius is the energy of the visionary. It's the energy of sort of the collective, you could say. It's also the energy of detachment, okay? And we get so bound up in our emotions that sometimes it's nice to tap into that Aquarian energy and be detached. We got about 3 minutes, so I'm probably not going to get through all of this, so I might have to finish tomorrow, so I better hurry it up. All right, so Mercury is at 1 degree, Aquarius, and the Sabian symbol for this is the projection of a noble idea into concrete forms of beauty and significance. And so remember, Mercury is the messenger, moves through all three realms, and I think with this energy, we can get at the noble ideal that we've let our habits cover up, and we can bring that ideal into form, okay? So then Venus is at 2 degrees, Aquarius, and its symbol is the need to develop inner security so we can meet unexpected challenges. And so Venus is what we value, and over the last couple months, I really felt that Venus is kind of evolving, that it's not going to be, it doesn't have to be so much about material, shallow material beauty, that it's about valuing deep personal truths. And so I get the sense when we evolve our Venus, we have the ability to develop our security. So our sense of self and our sense of security is so strong that we can face whatever life throws at us. Okay, I need to get to this next one because this next one feels like these next two are big, okay? So Mars is at 25 degrees Aquarius, and the symbol for that, Mars is the energy that gets us what we value, okay? Here's the symbol, the wording. Humanity can and should realize that it is an organism and use the power generated by human togetherness and group interplay for the welfare of the whole, of which all of humanity and Earth are a part. And so what I see is that we have forgotten that we are all part of an organism, humanity, Earth, and all beings on this planet. And when we realize that, we realize that our emotions affect our world, that our actions, even as an individual, my actions and my emotions affect the world, and I can make the weather change. Not to be egoic, but to understand that everything is connected. Okay, so the next, I'm going to go quickly. I got less than a minute. Neptune at 6 degrees Pisces. There is a power generated by that is generated and totally accepted and enforced. Totally accepted and enforced collective discipline, group responsibility, which takes us back originally. We have a group responsibility to ensure the welfare for the next generation. All right. I think I'm out of time. I guess we'll have to talk about this another time. Think about how you can impact the collective. Free your emotional body so you can respond to life from a center. way. Okay, over and out from planet Earth. This is Velvet. Bye-bye.